swag. We surf. All right, we're back with another. Huh? What?
Is that the double D slide?
No, it was the double D slide going on right there. We're back with another edition of Red and White Podcast. Post game, the day after. State manhandles Carolina. NC State, the offensive juggernaut, 504 yards of offense. Will, how you doing? How are you feeling today?
Man, T-Day followed by V-Day. Oh, it's a big, big weekend for NC State fans. Man, I'm feeling great. Had a beer, rewatched the game. Oh, man. Got a new leaf blower. I mean, can I ask for anything else, man?
You're supposed to get things for Christmas. Come on now.
Oh, man. In this household, we give some early gifts. And I've been staring at this leaf blower for 2 days. And I said, I really got to blow some leaves and listen to these IC podcasts as they cry into their microphones. I really upped the Schadenfreude this year. I listened to their pregame podcast, then followed it up immediately with their postgame podcast. And boy, did I feel fucking great out there today.
Today felt great. Yesterday felt great too, man. Watching that game, State wins, obviously 39-20, and it was never that close. I know towards the end of the game, people were getting a little bit tight, but I mean, we were up 33-7 at one point, and I don't recall a State Carolina game that has ever felt like out of control like that for us. We scored in the first five possessions. And let's be honest, if Brendan Armstrong's not hurt, which we were talking about all week in the pod chat, we were hearing that ribs were hurting, nothing earth shattering, right? We all saw it in the Virginia Tech game, but he wasn't throwing at practice. They confirmed that after the game. No surprise. NC State kept it under wraps, which they should have. And if he's not hurt, if he's healthy,
we're probably
up 35-7. We're up, five touchdowns. There was never, I don't know, man. It was weird that Carolina came out and looked like they were not ready to play.
Well,
and I have respect for the Carolina team. Like, their offense has been good, and they're always a factor. But people were blaming watered the field or whatever Crisco defense we put on the field to make them slip all over the place. I don't think it was any of that. I think it's your legs are tired. You're not focused. You're more likely to slip and fall. Like, I don't know if there's any of that other nonsense going on. It might have been. I would if had the position to do so. But it just looked like Carolina's body language was not there. And that was just – and they got hit in the mouth early and just State just tasted blood and went for it. I mean, it just – from the get-go, it just felt like State had that game under control. It was crazy.
It was an Adidas versus Nike infomercial out there. I hope the Adidas folks are sending clips of those football cleats and how they actually have traction. I think we scored on the first six drives. And then to your point of like, why did UNC look like that? They said after the game that they practiced all week without pads and not hitting. And that is the most classic UNC football there is.
Didn't that happen with, was it Navy in the first game of the COVID year? This is a really random thing that I remember, but
yes,
they came out and they were, I think it was Navy, and like, yeah, we didn't practice all, summer or whatever. We didn't
No contact,
right? And they came out and just got absolutely butt slapped. And like, well, that was a bad idea. Why did Carolina think that was a good idea? Unless they were just all hurt from Clemson game, I guess.
It's so tough having to play Duke at home and then go on the road to Clemson and then have to show up and immediately look like you're like a it's like a World War II ward out there, the way they were acting. That was the closest I can think of that game to like reminding me of a beatdown was it like 13-0 beatdown of UNC after the triple play comment. And
yeah,
man, it was just so weird to see it relatively in control. It definitely sucks seeing UNC on like three of those drives, right? Just like blitz down the field and score. And I was like, well, that's a bummer. But this game could have been like a massive blowout, right? You go back and look at it, right? I think we had at least three field goals that should have been 7 points in any other normal day. Trent Penix right. dropping like secret I don't know weapon. How that ball went through his hands. So yeah, I mean, it was just it's so nice the last basically the last three games, right? You got to watch these games and not sweat after like the second or third drive of the game. It must be what Alabama feels like. I think we finally got those Alabama recruits, Steppy.
We're finally Utah, right? I was thinking about this last night. We're Utah. Like that's
Utah
exactly
was
what...
just us, okay? We just
maybe that's what it is. Maybe we were just they were just Utah in disguise. Like, I just they played good defense, they controlled the game offensively, they just do things you're supposed to do in those big games. They came out prepared. It's like all the things that I want from our team. Now, if they would just win the, you know, whatever division we're going to be called or whatever the divisions are called, like Utah won the, you know, Pac-12, et cetera. But this program-wise, it's another year winning 9 games. I mean, we've been asking for a long time. I've been asking for it for a long time. I feel like we're finally there. Just got now they just got to win, you know, win the championship, get over the hump there. But from a damn program standpoint, that game right there was just it spoke so much to the differences in the two programs right now. And I know everybody's been talking about it, but you know, the substance over hype thing and all the comments that Peyton and Dave made after the game. Even the Gillespie Jacoby game where they ran for 300 yards and it was 35-7 didn't feel as dominant as this one did. And I'm not sure why. Maybe that's just revisionist history or, you know, just being in the moment, recency bias. But damn, it just felt like they absolutely, like, Carolina was not in this game from, like, at ever. If Drake May doesn't break that 50-yard run, 56-yard run, I don't think this team gets close to scoring. You know, they might get a freak touchdown or something like, but they don't get 20 points. Like, yeah. That felt like that gave them a little bit of life there. And even that wasn't enough. Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, they looked like they didn't want to be there. I mean, could you imagine if we had the number one or two pick in the draft and he couldn't complete a pass for a quarter?
You know? It took them 5 possessions to get double-digit yards. Oh, that's man. Insane.
It was like that the perfect storm. Like we were kind of saying in the pod, you know, we didn't spend too much time actually talking about this game this week because of Thanksgiving, but they have 3 weapons and like that's it. They don't have a defense. They have their 3 offensive weapons. And so if you shut one of them down, you pretty much control them at that point. We basically shut 2 of them down for the entire game. I mean, Amari and Hampton, I think, had what, 28 yards?
28 yards. Guy was leading the nation in rushing. He has 1,400 yards in the season. He had 28 in this game.
And I'll pause. Hey, Omarion, if you want to transfer over here, we'll take it. Don't worry.
Hell
yeah. We'll show you what it looks like to be in a real team.
Somebody in the pod chat said he'll probably end up in Alabama. Like, I can fully believe that. Like, it's the same thing with Jahmyr Gibbs type.
Yeah.
That good of a running back. But he.
That's fine. Get the fuck out of here.
28 yards. 28 yards.
And then I don't have Devontae Walker's stat line up. I thought it was 29 yards. I feel like I could be making that up, though.
8 targets, 2 receptions, 29 yards, 1 reception. He had the 21-yard run that actually wasn't a touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was a fumble, but it wasn't either. Like,
how?
Yeah. Yeah.
How did they that not get that? Overturned? Yeah, that know. Was so weird. So weird. Just some real questionable officiating this game.
Aiden White put him on clamps, and that was insane. Like, we know White's good, but I just totally dismantled him.
That pass.
I just don't know how poor grandma is going to recover.
I don't know. Oof, she might be on dialysis today after that one. I don't know. I was a little nervous when they got that ridiculous pass interference call at the start of the game with him. And I was like, oh, God, it's going to be one of those games where it's like you got to give this kid gloves the whole time and he's going to run all over us. And then that was quickly corrected. I don't know what happened there. But, man, what a just absolute beatdown. I don't know, man. We should have pulled up Drake May's stats from us for 2 games combined because they can't be good at this point.
Well, his stats are a little misleading. he did go 22 for 38, 254, two touchdowns, but he had two picks. And, you know, for a while there, a lot of that was late in the game. We're dropping eight and he was throwing underneath soft coverages. But early in the game, like the first quarter, he was 1 for 7 for 3 yards. Just absolutely couldn't do anything.
Yeah, but we played him last year. Last year he was 233, one touchdown, one interception, right? Like, I mean, it's just, dude, I mean, so sad to see that generational quarterback leave. Oh,
it's funny watching the heel fans melt down, and their biggest gripe is two generational quarterbacks in a row, and we don't get anything out of them. And I'm just like, so sad.
You got some bad fucking generations, if that's
the case. Sam Howell, Drake May are good, but they did not maximize them. And I mean, a state fans kind of understand that. I understand that.
It's Jay Bateman's fault. It's Phil Longo's fault. It's
whose fault is it this year?
Oh, it's DC. Chizik. Was it? Yeah, Chizik. It's Chizik's fault. It's only Chizik's fault.
Well,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, Carolina wasn't ready for what NC State had for them. Like I said earlier, State had 504 yards of offense. Brennan Armstrong, playing hurt, has his best game of the year: 21 of 30, 314, three tutties, no interceptions. Ran 9 times for 22 yards. And, yeah, playing hurt every time he got hit. Like, he slid, and he hadn't slid all year. Oh, you knew he was hurt. He ran out of bounds on that one play, and he pulled up a yard too short of the sticks. And Hasselbeck was like, that doesn't seem like him. I wonder what's up.
God, and how like, dumb yeah, is he's Tim Hasselbeck?
We're definitely hurt. Dude, what is German Tim Hasselbeck?
It took him like 2 quarters to be like, I think he may be injured. And it's like, yeah, no crap, man.
He's got a
man.
Giant thing around him. He's like wearing a life vest underneath his jersey. You can see he got Fat Albert.
He got that Sam Hartman rib removal and, probably had the rib necklace the whole time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's actually interesting. I feel like in some ways not being able to run forced Brennan to just have to access the passing part of his brain. I mean, he was really accurate. That deep, the little moon ball to Dakari Collins for a touchdown was great. He looked great thrown over the middle. I mean, it was just like, man, that's what we wanted to see all year. I think the best part was after the game, Doran was like, well, after that Duke game, I basically said, let's get rid of all the inefficient plays in the offense. Let's take the efficient ones and just make more plays like the efficient ones and then get the ball to our best player. And it's like, I can't believe it took you that many games to come up with that, but I'm glad it happened. This is like the most fun it's been to watch offense for us in several years, in my opinion. We look like we've got an identity. You've got an OC that was cooking. DC was cooking. It was just fun to finally see that full team. Narveson was just like lights out with field goals. Punts were great. Kickoff coverage was great. We were hitting them so hard on kickoff coverage that they just started calling fair catches. I mean, what a game. What a great day to be a Tar Heel.
this game was still, it was weird. Like the out of timeout or out of halftime field goal that wasn't a field goal. So like, all right.
But they left that. They left the field goal on the board, right?
No, they took it off. We had to kick it again. So did you miss that?
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, so they came out of halftime, and they kicked it again. The announcer said, yeah, there was 12 men on the field, re-kick. I'm like, what? And so, they kicked it again before it started, and then Carolina kicked off and kicked us the ball.
Shit, it made no sense. Front door. Okay. Wow. Yeah, no I had sense. No idea that happened.
Yeah.
Also, why would that be the ruling? If the other team has the 12 men, why would that?
No, it was us had 12 men.
Oh.
That's okay. The problem. Like, so I get scoring plays are reviewed. I still don't understand how you can review it and then go back and call a penalty, right? Because you can't retroactively throw a penalty flag, right? We've seen
But there was never another play, right? They've got to have some review system for scoring plays, maybe.
Right, but it's still you can't. You can't review a penalty. I don't know. It was really strange. And maybe that's why. Even so, if there was a penalty, it's a 10-second runoff, so the kick doesn't count.
They were like, NC State looks so damn good tonight. We want to watch them do that again.
I don't know, man. It felt like we got my point was it felt like we got all the breaks in that regards, and that never happens.
Oh yeah. Right?
Dave claimed it a while ago that NC State shit is dead. And it just felt like every one of those breaks would have gone the other way previously. From PIs to the Rosner catch on the sideline, or he was in, but they would have called him out. Like there was a lot of those that,
that was a great catch.
Would have gone the other way. Yeah. It really
was. What a game. You know, he also made another play. I don't know if anyone really recognized it, but he fell on or was slipping on the route, popped up, caught that ball. It was like a kind of like a deep post or seam. I can't remember what it was. And it was a huge play. I think we were like 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 15 and kept that drive alive. I think we scored on it. Yeah, it was great, man. Like everyone just showed up and hit. Like, you know, usually I'm all like senior nights. Oh, you guaranteed to come out flat. It's going to suck. Like everyone came out like just slapping the whole way. Like Keon Lassane showed up, like the Keon I've been waiting for.
Keon had a good game. Five receptions, 66 yards. And then a rush for 11. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the key there was KC went out basically right before Keon started popping off, right? And so KC goes off the field, looks like he's going to like, I don't know, he was just on all fours and you're like, well, that's not good. And then Keon just stepped up. They put Coit in to kind of be the KC decoy. I mean, it was just like, we were like, yeah, no worries. Next guy up, next guy up, next guy up. We don't care. You can put anybody out here. These guys are UNC defenders. It's not a problem. I don't know how – I was just looking at the stats. I don't know how Cedric Gray had 17 tackles because when I was, like, watching for him all game. Dude. And I was just like, dude, this guy is like a lumber. He must be so tired. But I was like, how does that guy have 17 tackles? I couldn't believe it. But then I looked and saw that we had, like, 74 plays to their 59. Oh, man. Peyton Wilson, we haven't even talked about him yet.
Yeah, 25%
of the tackles tonight. Just a normal game for him. Interception, no. Forced fumble.
I'm looking at the box score. Such a great had 11 tackles.
No, I had it on 17 earlier. Are you sure?
I'm not sure. This is a really weird.
Well, this is according to the ESPN CBS box score, it's a 17 total, 6 solo for him. Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter because Peyton Wilson was a monster, and you could see the difference between the two. Hell of a game for Peyton. Great final game at the stadium.
I'm glad Dave said it, right? We've talked about this before, and I have been bringing this up for a while now. Like, Peyton should be in the Heisman conversation because I think he's a legit one of the best players in the country. And I don't expect him to win it, right? He's not Charles Woodson. I get the defensive side of it. And so I've said a lot in jest, but Dave said it last night on TV, and I'm just like, yes, yes, put his name in that conversation. And I don't know if the marketing department has been doing this or not. I just know what we see, and I haven't seen it, is that they should be shouting Peyton Wilson from the rooftops because you need to put your best asset out there, right? Your best, put your brand forward, put the best part of your brand forward. And maybe somebody brought up in the chat the other day is maybe they're just a little hesitant given how the last Heisman promotion went with Devin Leary delivers and he didn't deliver and all that jazz. I don't know. I want Peyton Wilson in that conversation as much as possible. And I really wish we had done a better job of putting his name out there. Now he may go through and win. Yeah. He may go through and win all of the postseason awards. And I think he should. He should be Defensive Player of the Year. He should be ACC Player of the Year. He should be win all the national, you know, Nagurski Award and whatever the rest of them are. And I think he should be an All-American. I think he is one of the top three best defensive players in the country right now. And I hope he gets that recognition. Yes.
Yeah.
Will was holding up. Mike Elko just got hired at Texas A&M. Yeah, I saw that a few minutes
ago. Oh, no. Our permanent rival, Duke, losing their head coach. I'm so sad.
Yeah.
I'm so sad. I can't imagine he's not going to be a first team All-American. I mean, the numbers are just too good. And there is enough like publicity going around it. And again, he's just been consistent all year. He's just been like insanely good. I don't see how anyone could really miss it at this point. I think State's done a good job of actually getting out ahead and keeping him in the public eye. A lot of the national media guys know about it. The CW obviously knows about it. They're like the biggest Peyton Wilson fans there is. You know, I just think it's so funny because he was such a, he was so frustrating the first couple of years, right? Because he would make like, just like a really boneheaded play. And you're just like, man, this guy's just, it's just never going to fully connect for him. It just always felt like he was going to get late hits and things like that and make you a why. And then, you know, to finally see it, I mean, last year he was really great too, but just to finally see a full season of it come together.
And healthy. You know, just, like he stayed healthy.
Yeah, stay healthy.
Unbelievable.
But just constantly making plays, man. The pick six, yeah. But like the, you know, forced fumble last night, the interception off that popped up pass by Aiden White there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, just constantly making highlight reel plays. He makes incredible tackles. I loved at one point, Omarion Hampton was trying to run in the middle of a pile, and he just picked up Omarion Hampton's legs and just like just backwards. Yanked him back.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. And he was just sitting on the ground and did it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's obviously, I mean, I cannot imagine him not winning the Nagurski or whatever it is that he's in the finals for. But, you know, State just needs to kind of go on the offensive and make sure, you know, be really smart if they haven't already done it to have some cut ups, you know, just kind of blasting over the next few days to celebrate him. Gonna be really curious to see if he, I mean, if I was him, I would not play in a bowl game.
I was just thinking the same thing. He's the kind of guy that would like, he'd want to play. And if I'm a coach, I'm like, yeah, play for like a quarter and then hit the bench, dude. I don't want you getting hurt. Like,
yeah.
you don't want him the whole game. I mean, you do, but you don't want him the whole game. I think he deserves to take a break if anybody, right? And just like let him have off. But I feel like he's the kind of guy that is, that would want to play in the bowl game, especially if they get a good matchup in a, you know, big bowl or whatever. But, you know, I mean, let him play, but let him play for a little bit.
He's a first round talent that's probably going to go multiple rounds behind that. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, he second could, or third just because of his injury history.
I was going to say he could like fall to the fifth or sixth, right? Because people will be real, you know, keen on those injuries, right? But
maybe
like he's going to, I mean, he's going to, the only reason I was like, I would love for him to just skip it on the bowl game is I just love for him to prep. He's going to be a combine machine. You know, he's gonna, like, I just want to see him have that moment where he gets to truly display everything on a national audience. And, you know, who knows? I mean, I think it's one of those things where we were talking before the podcast, if everything breaks right and like NC State somehow ends up in one of the Orange Bowl games of all the teams that, you know, I mean, what a crazy inflection point for the season. But if we end up in an Orange Bowl, maybe some of these guys stick it out and want to play in that. But I'm not going to fault anyone on this team after what they just did. If they want to say, hey, I got to go prep for the draft and do what's right for me.
100%.
If that was his last game, I mean, it was an awesome game. It's just great.
I mean, what a way to go out. I mean, he probably read a stat line already, but 15 tackles, 8 solo sack, 2 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, even though one of them didn't count, and the interception. I mean, he was in Drake May's ass all night, which is just absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Oh, and best out of all, he injured Drake May. So, I mean, bravo. Kudos. Love that little sack that made Drake May like curl up in a ball and then pop back into the game like 3 points later. I was like, that's the I'm getting my ass kicked injury, you know? It was like when Drake May like hobbled off, I was like, "Oh, here we go." Oh man, just loved it. Love to see it.
Drake May and Sam Howell now both leave their careers in college. I mean, assuming Drake May goes pro, taking an L in Carter Finley and not throwing an interception at the end of the game.
That's the best.
That's amazing. That is amazing. There's so much good content that has come out over like the last night, just everything. It feels good, man. It feels good to be a State fan after all the nonsense, right? What a year. I would never have expected it. And we've all talked about it after the Duke game and after the Louisville game, just glimmer of hope didn't seem, you couldn't find it, right? You didn't seem to be there. And then all of a sudden they rattle off 5 in a row, which I wish you could have gotten odds on that because it would just, nobody would have believed it. But somehow this team, and I don't know, but maybe it was the MJ stuff. Maybe that was like the rallying point. Maybe it gave Dave something to, you know, bring the team together with. And man, they have been focused and locked in for the last few weeks, and it's been good to watch. Like, they haven't been flukes. Like, State didn't fluke this win. They didn't fluke the Virginia Tech win, right? They firmly kicked their asses.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's wild to me. Just, we don't get that very often.
I mean, the fact that this team could be the 10-win team is crazy. But I think what it comes down to is the MJ decision and outcomes from those games, right? I think really solidified Brennan to the team. And then it was just, everyone was fully bought in. It's just one of those things where it probably is really hard to just bring in a transfer. And if they don't like light it up right away at quarterback, that you're going to have some rumblings or misgivings, and staff, you know, clearly didn't quite understand what they were doing at first with all the pieces. And then they needed the bye week. It's crazy. That's what it took. And then they came out and they were a completely different team after that. And everything gelled, right? I mean, I pretty much the Clemson game, the Miami game, Wake game, Virginia Tech game, this game, all three phases were just clicking for the most part, right? And, you know, there was a part of me last night, I was like, you know, I think they just benched Brennan so that they could say they brought in the backup quarterback against UNC just to really, you know, shiv them right at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, just great. I mean, man. Oh, what a weird season. What a weird
credit
season.
Credit to Brennan Armstrong, right? That we've talked about that conversation. He's that kind of guy. He's the kind of guy that quarterback that I think Dave wants, right? He's a poor man's Jacoby. I think they're very similar in the like they're tough, big kids, can run. Jacoby, better passer, obviously, but they had it there, right? They're good leaders. I think there's a lot of similarities to the two.
Yeah, Brennan's
the kind of quarterback
runner.
Yeah, probably a better runner. But they're kind of quarterback that Dave's going to be looking for, I think, in the future. Like,
I hope so.
Yeah, a gritty. I mean, again, Jordan Lynch style, but they're both better passers than Lynch was. But
I mean, I think that, you know, we've talked about this before. You can have an elite quarterback, and it can easily get you 8 games. Like, it just seems like an elite quarterback gets you that floor somehow. But I think when you have really good defense and you just have a mobile quarterback, it opens up the same thing. So, like, you don't have to have an elite quarterback to be great. So, I mean, I would have to imagine that from now on, they're like, okay, this is the template of the kind of guy we need. And if we're not getting it exactly, like, just keep bringing in mobile guys. Like, you don't have to be a polished passer. I mean, look at our passing game, that game specifically, right? I mean, it's really just like a lot of short misdirections, you know, opening up some seams, but there's nothing crazy complicated about it. It was just, you know, just fool them, get their eyes moving the wrong way, and then make an easy, efficient pass. So, I don't know, man. After that game, watching Dave with the interviews, I did not get the sense. I know we've been talking about a lot, but I was like, that sure doesn't come across to me as a guy who wants to retire. Like, I think he's alive right now.
He almost, yeah, right. We've talked about it. It felt like he was exhausted from it all. And even the people are saying that about, you know, Mac Brown is when you start getting emotional during these interviews, it usually means that you're near the end. And Dave was getting emotional in all these interviews, and it felt like he was re-energized after that game last night. It felt like a different vibe from him. Like, a hell yeah. Like, and what I liked that I think has gone relatively untalked about it is he was recruiting during those interviews, right? He's saying, you want to come here. He flat out said, hey, your recruits, you want to come here. Look at this environment. Look what we just did. Look what we're building. And that is something he's not done before. Like, I don't recall him ever flat out like recruiting like that when you got the spotlight on him. And if he's re-energized and if he is, you know, we've always talked about Dave's evolution from, you know, getting conservative to being a little bit more aggressive and whatever, like as he's evolved, if he's now evolved in that he's recognized, hey, you get some elite players like Casey and Peyton, and it makes your job a lot easier. And he's starting to push that recruiting side of it. And they've starting to figure that out a little bit. That's exciting, right? Because I think of all the things that Dave has done well, I think that's where the area where we've not, you know, branded ourselves at. And you know, I've talked about that before. He's not put himself or put, you know, put the brand out there like, hey, you know, you got to be brash about it. You got to come at us. Come play with us. You want to be here. And he flat out said it. Peyton flat out said it. Right. And we haven't had that before. And if that is where he's evolved to, that's the part I really like the most about, you know, his post game interviews is like, it seemed like he recognized, let's get some elite players in here. This makes this thing a lot more fun. Right. I mean, that's what those post game interviews sounded like to me.
Well, you know what? The best sound I heard was him saying, we need to support our NIL. You need to invest. He was like, I mean, I think he's a little optimistic. He said, I want 5,000 people to donate $1,000. I was like, okay, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. You need $5 million. That's what you think is your fund target. But I'll tell you what, I think when I saw it at 12:30 today, the NIL funds had raised over 80 grand from last night alone. And the Savage Wolves Collective, I think, went from like 20-some thousand up to 60,000. I'm looking at it right now on their little Give Butter page. So if you're listening to this, you can donate any money you want. There's a lot of people donating $39.20, which I love to see. Yeah. And some others doing 27.20s or whatever it was from last year. So, you know, every little dollar counts. I threw $2.50 in there last night out of exuberance, I guess, at like 2 in the morning when I was re-watching the game again. And, you know, I think this is, it's going to be really interesting. I was worried that before we recorded this, that we were going to see a bunch of guys that kind of opted out or, you know, hopped in the portal, but it doesn't look like it's hit yet for NC State. I'm sure it's going to happen in the next few days. I feel like kind of last year, that's the same thing that happened. It kind of took a day or two and then it started to trickle out. But, I think when you end a season like this, he's got to be fired up. And
yeah,
I think he said he needs a few days off just to collect himself, but just a really different vibe since breaking the record last few games going, you know, in my head, I was thinking he's on like a revenge tour right now, right? Beats Clemson again, beats Miami, who he hadn't beaten, goes to Wake, wins there, which had been problematic for him, beat Virginia Tech at Virginia Tech, which had been a problem for him. And then of course, ending it with, you know, just curb stomping his rival. And I was like, you know, if he wants to go out, he certainly is going to go out on a high. But I don't expect a person to be retiring to be saying, hey, you need to go donate $1,000. I think he wants to be here. It's weird. I'm just in such a good mood. I hope everyone over at the Murphy is just having one hell of a day today.
If I'm go for Tom, like I'm rocking a Venmo QR code on my shirt or something. Like, oh, I'm just like, he's on the sidelines. I'd be pointing to it right there. Like,
that's what we got to do. We got to get QR code Savage Wolves shirts. Maybe we need to have Tom back on and just get him to tell us like
don't
a funny.
Worry, it's in the works.
Okay. All right. Look at that. Let's see. I'm not even in on everything, and I can generate teases.
NC State is now 15-9 against Carolina this century.
Oof.
They've won 7 of the last 10. Right, Carolina likes to thump their chest about the overall record when most of those happened in like the 30s and way back when. It's a different time now. It's wild. I love seeing it. I'm excited in where this is going. A guy we didn't talk about yet is Casey. Obviously, he is the key to pretty much everything right now, and I'm pretty sure the coaches will do everything they can to make sure that he is kept around. Dave said it last night when he was talking about donating. All right, the other part that you left out is that he said there's a lot of illegal tampering going on right now.
Yeah.
And we don't have a ton of guys that you want to be tampering with. Casey's people are sliding in his DMs. I'd bet my dog on it, right?
Yeah, I got the
11 carries, 55 yards, 7 receptions for 130 yards, 2 tutties. He's the best running back on the team. He's the best wide receiver on the team. Like, it's unbelievable what that guy's done. And, you know, considering he was like our third wide receiver on the board last year, like when he committed, everybody's like, oh, cool. We missed on Rodgers and you missed on who's the other guy? Laycock and I don't know, somebody else maybe. but he just wasn't the headliner that a guy like Porter Rooks was when he committed, or Michael Allen when he committed. But man, he is a special talent. He's unbelievable. Yeah. He's so much fun to watch, and I don't say this lightly. He's got a lot of Torrey Holt vibes to him. He's smooth in and out of breaks. He, you know, knows what he's doing. He will turn you around. They were double covered him, and he was still getting open. And that's so impressive, man.
Yeah,
he was everything to this offense.
The weirdest tweet I've gotten at me all year was 2 days ago from someone named Evan Byers, and it says at State Coach D at NC State Football. Mr. Concepcion will be transferring to the U. Don't get discouraged. Continue to build the program you are. Blue collar, hard work, physical, and character will rise to the top. That is the weirdest effing tweet I've ever gotten. And when I clicked on this person, he's following 8 people and he has 1 follower.
Incredible.
I don't know what the hell happened there, but we'll allow it. If that happens, if he ends up at Miami, I guess I'll eat some crow and start following Evan Byers so he can have 9 followers. Jesus, what a weird day. Casey was awesome, but it's, you know, you start kind of thinking, right? You're like, okay, well, if we take Casey, Dakari Collins seems like he's kind of coming alive. You got Paylor coming in. You obviously got to add to that running back room to boost that up some anyways, but it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. A lot of guys walked on senior day that I wasn't really expecting. You know, I mean, McMahon walked, Belton walked, McKay walked, which I thought McKay had another year. Belton, I know, has another year. We'll see what that means, but I mean, it could be a brand new offensive line, and obviously, you know, Brennan and those guys walked. So it's going to be interesting to see what the next iteration of this team is. I expect there to be a lot of portal additions. I'm not too worried about that. I think we got a good thing to sell. But that's a next month problem.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want to get too far down that road. A lot of ins and outs will come. A lot of things will happen. You know, there's a lot of positive vibes there on the potential portal stuff happening right now. So we'll speak to that as more comes along. But
Tom's tweet, that one with the scratched out.
I missed that one.
Did you not see where he sent a message between him and Dave Doran about?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
And it's all like block, you know, highlighted out. But then it's just if you zoom in at all, you can see everything that's written. And
So what's it was talking about? Gopher Tom put out a tweet, and it was a screenshot of a text message supposedly with him and Dave, which I do believe it was contrived, because there's no way he would speak like that
100%.
And then make it like readable, but not readable. Like he scratched it out with the black marker. But if you had, like Will said, if you zoomed in or you turned your brightness up, you could read it plain as day. But it eventually, and then Dave responds with, "I'm not leaving." And this was all about the Michigan State job at the time when all that stuff was coming out. I don't know what would have to happen for Dave to take another job. But, you know, I just never thought that was really a reality. So not surprising. I think that was more contrived for recruits' sake, because I'm sure it's being used against him. Like, look, Dave's name's getting mentioned with other jobs, and, you know, he might not be there. Come play for us. We're going to be, we have stability. We're going to be here. But I think that was all part of the song and dance, so to speak.
It has to be. I also tweeted, I don't think I tweeted directly at them, but just the more I think about it. So, you know, you've got your head coach out there that's basically saying, hey, NIL is, you know, it's part of the game until it's not. And we need you to be donating. And so I really don't understand why, if you go to gopack.com, we don't have links to the NIL groups on gopack.com. I think that is something that would be very easy for us to do and get behind as a school. And I was, you know, Clemson has it on their equivalent of GoPack, and it's right after IPTE. And then it's, yeah, go to it. You'll see a link for IPTE, and you'll see a link for NIL to their, whatever they call it, their 1810 club or some stupid thing like that. And so I think that's like the next step that State really needs to embrace. I think it's just like so simple and easy. I'm not sure what would be holding this up unless they want to get the collectives combined into one, possibly, but I don't think that should stop you at this point. Just put NIL as a drop down and put the two NILs there, and then it's good to go. But, you know, if I was NC State, if I was Dave, I'd be talking to my biggest Wolfpack Club boosters. I'd be doing everything I could to be like, can you shift a little bit of money over here? Right. We got a good thing going. It could be a great thing. You know, just, I'm annoyed by it. But at the same time, I'm like, I'll do this for 2 or 3 years. And I'm going to just hope that this changes and these guys get paid from the school going forward. But, you know,
I'm trying to find somebody in the chat had a really good point. I'm going to try to find this talking about. Yeah. So also today, Stuart Mandel, who for some reason has a hard on for going after Dave.
Yeah.
Made a comment about Dave's comment about, you know, Dave's asking people to donate. He makes $5 million a year, you know. The system is broken. Yes, the system sucks. I'm going to read this from Pod Jack. So it was a good point. Burden shouldn't be on the fans as much as it is right now. Also, universities piss away many more millions of taxpayer dollars in football or basketball bring in. Honestly, the best way to get most money out of your players' hands, most amount of money into players' hands is from a collective instead of through a school. No telling how they would allocate it. And I wouldn't be shocked if a bunch of money magically went missing and school controlled everything right now. So, I'm agreeing with you, right? And this is what this person is saying as well. The Wolfpack Club should be a fraction of what it is. That money, like, it should be there to service tickets. And I know there's scholarship things and stuff with it, but there's a lot of wasted money and somebody needs to get a hold of that and start allocating it properly. And I don't know how you'll part the old money boosters from their Wolfpack Club and their points and their parking passes and whatnot, which is why most people donate, when in reality that money should be, you know, allocated to NIL if you really want to win, right?
You should be able to just link it. I mean, I get one is a 503C or whatever it is, right? But you should be able to basically say, like, send us proof of your donation to one of the NILs and we'll give you the points. Like, it should work collaboratively. Are people whose jobs depend on this going to think that clearly and simply? Probably not, right? They gotta keep their families fed too. I get it. But, you know, My argument would be, this is a step for the next couple of years that you probably need to embrace. Again, it just feels like a court is going to rule on this sooner than later and everything's going to change as far as it's concerned. My whole thing is, like, I agreed with Stu's point on the follow-up that he said, right? But, you know, in the end, it's like, it's pretty pathetic that these conferences won't just step up and do the right thing and find a way to either make these guys contractors or something like that. And, you know, it's just a lot of cowardly leadership as far as that's concerned. These guys just want to keep the money for themselves. And again, it'll crumble eventually, but in the short term, like, these players deserve money. They deserve to be paid for what they do. You can equally be upset with them, right? If you pay all this money and then they don't perform or don't meet your standards, but, you know, a lot of those guys on the field that have been contributing for us have been great representatives. And, you know, some of them are going to go pro and a lot of them aren't. And support them while you can. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I wish somebody in the Wolfpack Club would have some sense to say, hey, let's redirect some of this funds. But they won't, because they have goals and things they want to meet and they got to make money.
Like you said, they could be fractional, right? And by fractional, they should be 90%. Of what they are today and shift 10%. Like, they get a lot of donations. You can go back and look at the tax records. Those guys are not hurting for money. And now they've got to use that money. And I'm sure they've got it tied up in things, to your point. But, you know, either convince those guys to give a little bit more or get them to redirect like 5% of their donations. And it'd be a game changer for us. level the playing field.
We'll see how that plays out. Now, here's the list of players that walked on senior night that cannot return. Savion Jackson, and I tweeted this last night, he's really been playing well as of late. Good to see that. Brandon Armstrong, Peyton Wilson, Jalen Scott, Derek Eason, kicker, Narvison, Keon Lassane, long snapper, Joe Shimko,
Bussa,
Trent, the secret weapon, Penix, Rakeem Ashford, and Tayshaun Smith. 1 year eligibility left. Jakeen Harris, Boykin, Mims, Cecil Powell, Porter Rooks, Tootle, Battle, Belton, McKay, CJ Clark, Dylan McMahon, Davin Van, Aiden White, all those with 1 year of eligibility that did walk last night.
Frankly, aside from Aiden White, like all of those guys should return.
I would think so too.
Like, yeah, I mean, they're not going to get those. I mean, Dylan McMahon obviously can be like, look at the worth I am. I returned and we won five games. So maybe there, but I think most of those guys didn't have awesome years to justify going, or they are going to be real fringe to get drafted. I mean, a lot of those guys, quite frankly, are probably undrafted free agents, which isn't a death sentence, but it's going to be a lot tougher for them. So NIL could probably keep those guys around. We had like 20 people walk, right? That's about
it. Seems like it, yeah. Read a bunch of names.
Big ass, yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of teams that had big walks like that, right? Because we're starting to cycle through the COVIDs. And that's crazy though. That's a lot of dudes.
Yep. All right. I think that's about covers this game. I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to talk about.
Oh man. No, man. It's just a beautiful day, beautiful weekend. It's so nice to win.
It really was. It's been a great last month of football. It's really surprising how this all turned out. And again, like they have been lucky. It's been good football. And would you consider this Dave's best coaching job?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, it sure seems like it, right? Yeah. This team could be the team that wins him 10.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, I'm not going to go on record and say it, but I can't think of at least a five game run where they did this to this degree. And I mean, what would even be close to it? The COVID year, probably.
I mean, winning eight games with Bailey Hockman is impressive.
Winning eight games last year was impressive, right? You know, doing everything they did with all the quarterbacks. I mean, I guess what I'd say is it feels similar, but this feels like, I don't feel like we are like really finished this much on a high. We'll see. After the bowl game, maybe we'll have a different opinion. But
and the way they did it, too, beating Carolina, beating Clemson, like you said earlier, beating Miami, Virginia Tech, and beating Wake at Wake.
Yeah.
Feels great. It feels really good. I don't know.
Just getting a bunch of boogeymen, just lining them up and shooting them down was really nice.
Yeah.
You know. Oh, man. Wait a second. Do you think Mac is getting fired?
I don't think they have the balls.
I don't think they have the balls to do it to an 8-4 coach.
No, they won't fire him.
What? Go ahead. Did you watch his presser?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, that's like required watching for everyone before they go to bed tonight. Just watching Sad Sack Mac up there, just being like, well, you know, 8 wins is pretty good here. Oh my god.
He was very defeated, obviously, as he should have been. He had some excuses worked in there, too. Yeah, I should clip that audio. Maybe I'll do that later in the week. But, man, I don't know. I love it. I hope they keep Mac forever. That's what I tweeted last night. Keep him forever.
God. Him, Chizik, I got no problem.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting. The next couple of, I don't know, I'll say days, but weeks maybe, between the portal and the coaching turnover. I'd be curious on what happens. I'm sure some of our staff will turn over. let's hope we can keep the pieces that we want to keep, and let, you know, bring some new life, new blood in for some of these other positions.
They'll magically find money where they need to find money.
Yeah, I agree. And the portal comings and goings will be the hot topic. There's already quarterbacks and whatnot that are hitting the portal. So it'll be interesting to see which direction State goes. They obviously need a quarterback, need a running back, need some offensive linemen.
They probably need pretty much quarterbacks.
Everybody. Kicker. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two quarterbacks, I mean, right?
Yeah, at least two quarterbacks. Yeah, boy, who knows what would have happened if we tried out Ethan Rhodes last night. So,
yeah. Oh, man. Anyway, kudos to Brennan. Kudos to the Pack. Kudos to Dave. I hope everybody had a good night. I'm pretty sure they did. And, man, that was one for the ages right there. I felt that was an ass kicking for the ages. And I don't gloat too much with Carolina fans, just typically because of how basketball season usually goes. But man, really took a lot of restraint not to, you know, talk some trash to all my Carolina friends last night.
Look, only, the trilogy is complete. You got three back-to-back-to-back games that are going to be permanent off-season watches for your future. You know, what a great job. We'll kick off the new trilogy next year, but man, yeah. If you didn't enjoy last night, there's something wrong with you.
Yep. I'll leave you with a joke that my friend sent me this morning. A man brings his dog into the bar to watch the State Carolina game. Every time State scores, the dog stands on his hind legs, dances, and does a backflip. Finally, the bartender asks, "What's he do if State loses?" This man says, "I don't know. I've only had him for 3 years." Hey. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the pod. We'll see y'all next one. Go Pack.
Go Pack.